Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, it is a blessing to be able to come to you, to know that you are with every one of us. And Lord, we just lift up all of those in the fires and any disturbance whatsoever. I just pray that they would turn to you. They would turn to you. All those people sitting in a car on a coast highway now, some of them for hours and hours, may they turn to you, Lord. May they turn to you. And so, Lord, we just pray for a great harvest of souls through every single incident, Lord, that that is caused or whatever happens, and may we look to you. And here we are this morning, Lord, so blessed that we can come safely, really, without fearing of man coming in and shutting us down or whatever, and that is not the case in much of the world, and that we have the Word of God. We have your precious Word made available to each of us, Lord, that we can hold it and read it, and may we receive from you today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to be in 2 Kings today, and we're going to have the raising of this widow's son, not the widow's son, I'm sorry, that was Elijah. We're going to have the raising of this woman's son from the dead by Elisha, or Elisha, if you prefer that pronunciation. We will look at that, and I was just thinking, being raised from the dead. I mean, there's only one resurrection that I'm really excited about, and that is Jesus Christ. So I thought we would just sing He Lives, because that's certainly the resurrection, one of the resurrection hymns there. So it's on the top of your notes there. Let's sing along with He Lives. I have a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. And so let's sing along.
I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always here. He lives, He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along God's narrow way. He lives, He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along the narrow way.
Well, in 2 Kings, we have the passing of Elijah as he's taken up in a whirlwind. And as you know, Elisha was with him to the very end and asked for double blessings. And he got them, apparently. And now we have some miracles by Elisha. And we have in chapter 4, first, him helping a widow who had a son. Her husband died. And apparently there were debts, creditors involved, and she had no money. You remember the story probably that he asked her, what did she have? And she says, oh, I got a little bottle of oil. He says, okay, get these vessels and fill them 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 and fill them. And he did. And then she was able to pay off her debts and live off of that. And it kind of reminds me of feeding the 5,000. You know, Jesus sent the disciples out to pick up the remnants, right? And He never wastes anything. And you might think, well, why pick up the remnants? I mean, He could just do another miracle. Well, He could. But like us, He takes what we have and nothing will be wasted, right?
Yeah.
And whatever we have, we offer to him. And if it's a stick like Moses had, then it was a stick or whatever. So we then move on to verse 8, and we see now that he goes to Shunem. Now, who knows where Shunem is? Well, look at your map, and you'll see where Shunem is. Shunem is about, some people say 7 miles from Mount Carmel, some say 15. Probably it's more like 15 by road and 7 as, you know, maybe the crow would fly, so to speak. But you can see it's near Mount Gilboa in the northern area, not too far from the Sea of Galilee, and not far from the city of Nazareth, actually, and not too far from Megiddo. It's in that area right in there. So it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman. Now, we see here the woman he had just helped with the oil, she was a poverty-stricken. This is a notable woman, which means a great woman. I don't know if it's great in terms of financial capabilities or whatever, but she was a notable woman. And she persuaded him to eat food, and he would go back and forth. You know, these prophets in those days kind of had a circuit they would go. And so he kept coming by there. And so she, being a godly woman with her godly husband, said, "Look, now I know this is a holy man of God who passes by regularly. Let's make a little place for him to stay." So apparently up on the roof or wherever, or on the wall, it says, put a bed for him there, a table and a chair and a lampstand. So he's got his own little place whenever he comes by. So he came by one day and turned down to lie there. And then he was a kind man and a prophet, a man of God. And because of their kindness, he says, "What can I do for you?" And basically, "Can I go to the king or commander of the army or whatever and help you?" And basically they said, "Well, no, we're good shape. We're content. We can take everybody, you know, the group around here works together and we can take care of ourselves." But Gehazi, the servant, when he was asked by Elisha to see what she needed, he came up with the idea. He said, "Well, her husband is old and she has no son." Ooh, having no son in Israel particularly was a curse, because people would look on you as having sin in your life for the reason you couldn't have children. And here she had obviously been praying for kids if she was old, and her, at least her husband was old. And so in verse 15 it says, "Call her." And when she came, and then Elisha says, "About this time next year you will have a son." Now can you imagine this older woman, or this woman with the old husband, I don't know how old she was, but having heard that, my, I mean, that would be like, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to be disappointed. That is too much of a miracle for me to even grasp. So she says, "No, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant." But, verse 17, the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her, and the child grew, and apparently he's now maybe 7, 8 years old, we don't know, but the word is child. The child grew, and it happened one day he went out to the with his father to the reapers, and then he said, verse 19, "My head, my head." We don't know if his sunstroke or an aneurysm or what it was, but anyway, he had this tremendous headache apparently. And so the father says, "Carry him to his mother." Now notice this, when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, she set him on her knees till noon, and he died. Boy, oh boy, holding that precious only son, and then he died. She went up, interesting, she went up and laid him in on the bed of Elisha, shut the door and went out, called her husband. Now boy, she's a woman of action now. When she hears from the Lord, she doesn't mess around. "Please send me one of your young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and come back." He said, "Well, why are you going to him today? It's not the new moon or the Sabbath. What would you go see the prophet for today?" She doesn't waste time by telling him all this story and, you know, arguing, "Well, what do we do now?" and all this. She just says, "It is well. Saddle a donkey," said to her servant, "drive, go forward, do not slacken the pace unless I tell you." And she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. We think 7 to 15 miles away. So it was, when the man of God saw her afar off, he said to his servant Gehazi, "Look, the Shunammite woman, please run now to meet her and say, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child?" And she said, "It is well." Again, she doesn't want to waste time explaining what's going on. "Just get me to the man of God. I don't want your servant. I want the man of God." And now she came to the man of God at the hill. She caught him by the feet. Reminds me of Mary Magdalene with our Lord. Caught him by the feet. Gehazi came near to push her away, but the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress." And listen to this. "And the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me." This is always so impressive, isn't it, in that he had such a close relationship with the Lord that he was surprised when the Lord didn't tell him something was going to happen. I don't know how surprised you are when the Lord tells you something is going to happen, but here he was surprised because he didn't tell him what was going to happen. Verse 28, "So she said, 'Did I ask a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me?'" So, you know, she's kind of taken back. You know, I could have lived without a son, but then I had a son, and now I just can't stand it to see that son taken away. I wish I'd never had him in a sense. Then he said to Gehazi, "Get yourself ready and take my staff." That means really going in my authority. And Gehazi is probably a younger man than Elisha. You know, now this picture on your map, don't you love this picture of Elisha there? I don't know if you can see it or not. He's got a sweatband. His head's all bald, you know, because a couple of chapters ago, the kids call him Baldy. I don't really know. Now, he's going to live maybe another 50 years after this. I don't think he's an old man. He may have been prematurely bald. But we know that Elijah was hairy all over, and this guy probably was not hairy. So if you're used to hairy God, man, and now here we have a non-hairy one, we'd call him Baldy, right? At any rate, the artist thought he didn't have any hair at all, I guess, because he didn't have any hair on his head. Or maybe he's in the NBA today. I don't know. That's the way they all look, right? Basketball players. So we see then, he says, probably he was younger and quicker at any rate. "And just run back and lay my staff on the child's face." And the mother of the child said, "As the Lord lives, as your soul lives, I will not leave you." She will not leave the closest contact she has to God, no matter what. And this is a great message for us, I think. Whenever anything happens, particularly anything disastrous happens or tragedy or whatever, head for the Lord and hang on to Him. Amen. Ask, seek, knock, until you get the answer or until you're told, "I've got it under control," right? So she will not be dismayed. So she will not lay her hands, take her hands off of Elisha. Now, Gehazi went ahead and laid the staff on the face of the child. There was neither voice nor hearing. He's dead. Therefore, he went back to meet Elisha and the woman coming and saying, "The child is not awakened." Verse 32, "When Elisha came into the house, there was the child lying dead on his bed. He went in, therefore, shut the door behind the two of them," just he and the child, "and prayed to the Lord." Prayed to the Lord. That's the most important thing in here, probably. Prayed to the Lord. "And he went up and lay on the child, put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, his hands on his hands. He stretched himself on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm." Now apparently he does this at least twice, maybe more. He returned and walked back and forth in the house, and again went up and stretched himself out on him. Then the child sneezed 7 times. Do you ever get irritated when you sneeze? I get in some of these hourly, I don't know what they are, sneezing things, and I sneeze about 10 times in a row, and just. But, you know, it means life, right? You can't sneeze if you're dead. So maybe that's a good idea to sneeze. Anyway, the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite woman." So he called her, and when she came in to him, he said, "Pick up your son." So she went in. Look at this. She didn't just grab him. I would have grabbed him. But she went in, fell at Elisha's feet, bowed to the ground. Then she picked up her son and went out. So what do we have from this miracle of Elisha? Well, we have a lot of things. One, we see he is so close to the Lord with his faith and with the providence of miracles and so forth that God has given him, that he is surprised when he doesn't hear of a problem before he sees it. That's one thing we get from it. Another thing we get, that this woman She has the faith to seek him out, and she's not going to be deterred. She's not going to waste time talking to anybody. She's going to go to the foot of the cross, in a sense, as quickly as possible and undeterred by human intervention, really. And then even though Elisha sends Gehazi as his first answer, and then he's going to leave, and she's not going to leave him, right? She's going to stay right to the closest to the Lord that she can stay, because he represents God to her, a man of God, because the prayer was answered with respect to her having a son. And so now, to raise that child from the dead, she knows where her source of hope is. And we need to know where the source of our hope is. And as we sang this morning, he lives. We have a risen Savior, right? We have an eternal Savior. And we have eternal Savior that not only, in a sense, raises us from the dead who to die again, as this resuscitation would have been, because this child would have died again. But we will never die if we live and believe in him, right? So we see then God's beautiful answer to the prayer and to giving her a son and then bringing him back to life. Kind of reminds me of the widow of Nain's son, when Jesus raised that son from the dead, although she was a widow, I think, and this is not. But we still have this miracle here. But again, this is just a temporary recitation. This is not a permanent rising, and we have so much the more because of what Jesus has done for us. But the importance of prayer is emphasized again here today, and so we want to pray now. We have a few minutes to pray in the group, and then about halfway through, we will break into little groups of two or maybe three people, and so half of us can pray all the time. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this little example of importance of prayer here in your word. And Lord, we know you hear our prayers, and we know they're effective because of your faithfulness. And so, Lord, lead us and guide us now as we go to prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
On the first verse now, everyone.
Father, we thank you for that amazing grace. Lord, go with each of us today as we leave this place, and may we be in prayer and praying for those who are going through traumas and difficulties and all those things, and may they turn to you, even as that Shunammite woman would turn to you with the loss of her beloved son and not let go. And so, Lord, may your will be done in each of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.